Okay, today I'd like to share with you a topic: how does rebirth take place? What do you think about rebirth? Who is taking rebirth? Yourself, oneself, one person, he, she. Who is taking rebirth? Or no one? Or is it a soul transmigrating from past life towards this life, or from this life towards future life? So which is the correct answer? Okay, I ask you, you say yes or no. Do you think it's a soul transmigrate from one life to another? No. Do you think you yourself, when you die in this life, and you yourself, you will go to next life? Yes or no? No. Then who is going rebirth? Our mind. Very good. Yes, correct. Mind. Okay, let's go through one by one. So first of all, it is not a soul transmigrate from the past to the present or from the present to the past. If your mind still think it is a soul, that is eternalism view. It's one type of wrong view in the teaching of the Buddha. We call view of eternal. Eternalism. It's the same soul. Soul mean cannot die one. That is Christian's belief, not Buddhist belief. Okay. Then what is rebirth? In Buddhism, rebirth is the continuous process of consciousness or mind. Our mind is like a river, keep flowing one. Even during dying moment, after die, the river keeps flowing. So the consciousness keeps flowing continuously. Therefore, we call continuous process of consciousness. So in rebirth is the continuous process of consciousness moving from one life to the next. Driven by karma or actions rooted in craving rather than the transmigration of a permanent soul. So without karma performed, for example, now I'm going to die. Before this moment, I have done a lot of karma. Whether in this life or in my past life or long, long life ago. So all this karma are supported, are rooted in craving. Craving for what? Maybe craving for sensual pleasures. One will be born in the heaven called craving for sensual pleasures. Or want to be born as rich person. There's also craving for sensual pleasures or craving for life. Want the life to be continuous without stop. This is called craving for life. So whatever karma we perform in our life, whether in the past or now, all are rooted in craving. Without this craving, no rebirth can take place. You see, Arahant also do good karma, right? Arahant also preach the Dharma, which is good karma. But why Arahant do not take rebirth? Because his karma does not rooted in craving. Okay? Therefore, we say rebirth is the continuous process of consciousness moving from one life to the next, driven by karma, rooted in craving rather than the transmigration of a permanent soul. Upon that karmic imprint from the past life, push the consciousness into a new life in new existence. That is how rebirth takes place. Then here we see upon the karmic imprint or karmic action that was done from the past life and push the consciousness to the new life. But we have performed, as a human being, we have performed various karma in our past life, right? Uncountable karmas in our past life. So upon death, during dying moment, which karma will determine rebirth? We have performed so much karma, so many karmas already, various karma, good or bad. So which one will determine our rebirth? These important things for us to know, right? So during dying moment, there's an order of ripening of karma. This order, we follow the order. Okay. The first one, we call Vaiji Karma. I will explain later what's the meaning of Vaiji Karma. If there's no Vaiji Karma, then the second one, that proximate karma. That proximate karma means karma you did before dying. Very close to dying, that karma you perform, that's called that proximate karma. If there's no, before dying, we do not do anything, we do not think of anything. Then the third one, habitual karma will take place. Our habitual karma, where we used to perform in our life, that karma will determine your next rebirth. And if there's no habitual karma, definitely, we have habitual karma, but that habitual karma does not work during dying moment. Then, one of the reserved karma, which is not so important, we have done once in a life, then soon forgot. But don't know why somehow during dying moment that karma we have forgotten one suddenly ripen and determine our rebirth. Okay. So yeah, these are the four types of karma for you to remember. Can we say one more time? First, Vaiji Karma. Second, that proximate karma. Third, habitual karma. Fourth, reserved karma. Okay, now I will explain one by one. First is Vaiji Karma. Vaiji karma got unwholesome, got wholesome one. Let us talk about unwholesome first. There are five types of Vaiji karma. Number one is creating a schism among the sangha. It means that you break the sangha into two groups, two opposite groups. Is this one done before in the Buddha's time? Yes, by Devadatta. One day when Buddha is having Patimokkha, when all the Sangha have meeting Patimokkha, and Devadatta bring a group of monks and break this meeting, take away some of the monks from the meeting and start another Patimokkha. This is called creating a schism among the Sangha. This is Vaiji Karma. And the result of Vaiji Karma is hell. In no way you cannot do anything already. Go to hell. Okay? But this creating schism among the Sangha cannot be done by lay person. So you are safe, man. Lay person cannot do. Only monk can do. You have no ability to break the Sangha. Okay? And the two wounding Buddha, it caused bleeding in Buddha's body, which also done by Devadatta. One day, Buddha is walking in the foot of the vulture peak. Then Devadatta pushed a rock down from the peak of the mountain, and a small piece of the rock hurt the Buddha, caused bleeding from the Buddha's body. This is called wounding a Buddha, which is also Vaiti Kamma, also go to hell. Immediately, next life, must go to hell. There's no way you can escape from the hell. So Devadatta did two Vaiti Kamma. Therefore, Devadatta still in the hell now. Number three, murdering an Arahant. Number two also cannot be done by us anymore because Buddha no more in this world. Okay. Number three, murdering an Arahant. Number four, matricide, killing mother. Number fifth, patricide, killing father. So if a person has done one of these five Vaiti Kamma, during his dying moment, he will see the hell fire. Then, frightened by that hell fire, he go to hell. Okay? So, consequences of committing unwholesome Vaiti Kamma, reborn in hell in immediate future life. And before he died, if he tried to practice, unable to attain jhana and nibbana in this life. No matter how hard he tried, so he's not able to attain jhana and nibbana. Even Devadatta got psychic power. After he committed all these bad deeds, he fell from his jhana. And Ajatasattu, Ajatasattu, right? The son of King Mimisara. King Mimisara is Sotapanna. So Ajatasattu is son. But unfortunately, Ajatasattu associated with Devadatta. And Devadatta urged him to kill his father so that he can take his position as a king. So Ajatasattu, because associated with full person and influenced by the full person, so Ajatasattu finally killed his son and killed his father. So after that, he feels so much remorse. And one day he went to see Buddha because he cannot sleep now. He got so much regret, remorse, and he went to see Buddha. And Buddha preached him Samana Pala Sutta. Samana Pala Sutta. And Buddha said, if he did not kill his father, he can become noble one after listening to this Dhamma talk. But he had killed his father already. He already created Vaiti Kamma. Therefore, after finish my Dhamma talk, he cannot become a noble one. Ajatasattu is supposed to go to the great hell. But because when he was alive, he supports Sasana very, very much. He is the first person who sponsor the call, the meet, the Sangha meeting, Sanghayana, first founder of the Buddha's teaching. He is the sponsor. Because of his great merit, he did not go to great hell. He was reborn in a minor hell, but still go to hell. Okay. Okay, then we talk about unwholesome wedi kamma. Now we talk about wholesome wedi kamma. What is the wholesome wedi kamma? If you attain jhana in this life, then you can maintain it during your dying moment. Even you're not going to die, you still can enter into jhana. This is called wholesome wedi kamma. Because you die with jhana, you definitely go to Brahma world. That is a definite rebirth in Brahma world. Okay? Or if you attain or you attain supramundane path, you become Sotapan, let's say. Become Sotapan in this life. So when you die, you will never go to four woeful states. That is definite already. Therefore, it's also called wholesome wedi kamma. Okay. Now we go to if we don't have wedi kamma, we never do any wedi kamma. Then that proximate kamma will decide where will you take rebirth. Okay. What is that proximate karma? Karma performed or remembered shortly before death. I want to tell you one real story, which is that proximate karma. This story happened in Myanmar. Now this person, he is a monk, Indian monk. In his past life, he was a robber, thief, robber. So he used to steal people's things. One day he was caught. He was caught and put in a like bag, rice bag. And people beat him. After putting him in the rice bag, tied him, and people beat him, caused some wound in her head. In his head. Then the villager threw him into river. So before he died, he remembered one of his good karma he had performed. He is a smart, very smart person. As a robber, robbery become your habitual karma, right? Become your habitual karma. But one day before he died, one day, when he went to the town, he saw a monk. He saw a monk went for Pintapata. And in Burma, it's very common seeing the monk going for alms round, right? So when he saw the monk, he was very happy and so lucky he got some food with him. So he offered all his food to the monk and he prayed. Make a wish. Nobody will know what he prayed. And nobody will guess what he prayed. He don't pray that, next time I will not become robber, I become rich person. No. He says, Mante, I don't know what achievement you have, but next life, by this meritorious deed, may I achieve what you have achieved. Because as a robber, how can you know the monk's achievement? Huh? He may not even heard about Sotapan, Sakadagami, but he said that I just want to achieve what you have achieved. Okay? So then after that, he was caught, and bitten and thrown into a river. So before dying, he did not think of what his robbery, but he think of this good deed. So I say he's very smart. He did not think how much I have robbed, how much I have hurt people. No. He only think this, he have do one dana to the monk and make aspiration to achieve what he achieved. Is this wholesome thing or not wholesome thing? Wholesome thing. And because of this wholesome last thought, we call that proximate karma. This last thought is called that proximate karma, karma performed or karma remembered shortly before death. And after he died, he was reborn as a human. And the moment he was, when the moment he take his rebirth, there is a scar on his head. This scar come from his past life, being bitten by, we call birthmark, being bitten by people. So he don't understand, he doesn't understand, he cannot understand why he got this scar until later he become monk, because he want to achieve what people achieve. He got to become monk. So he become monk later on. When he become monk, he practice meditation, he make very good progress. Then he saw his past life. He realized that he was a robber. He was beaten and was put into the gulag bag and thrown into the river. Then why he now become human being? Because of his last thought moment. He had this, remember the good deed he had performed. Because of that moment, he was reborn in human, and now he understand why he become monk. He also understand why he got one scar on his head. Okay? This is called karma performed. A karma remember shortly before that. Okay. If there's no karma performed before that, then we go to the third one, habitual karma. Habitual karma, we have so many habitual karma as a Buddhist. We recollect the Buddha's virtue. Every day, we itibiso bhagava arahan. We always remember Buddha's virtue. It become our habitual good karma. Or in like as a Buddhist, we used to offer flowers, water, to the Buddha. It's also, if you do it every day, it become habitual good karma. You offer like in Buddhist country, to see monk come for pindapat is very common. So every day they may offer rice. And the monk know you are going to offer rice, they will come every day in the same place, then you offer rice. So all this become habitual good karma. Then during dying moment, it may appear in your vision. Okay? Then habitual karma can be unwholesome also. We call bad habitual karma, a bad deed habitually performed. Like butcher. Every day he got to slaughter the pig. So it become very heavy habitual bad karma. And this become because he performed every day. So during dying moment, and the karma is so heavy, during dying moment, automatically appear a bad vision in his dying moment. Or maybe fisherman also. One time you go and catch so many fishes, maybe 100, 200, and kill 200 lives. That is very bad habitual karma. Or even become a boxer also, Buddha also got this what you call back pain. Buddha got back pain. You know why? Because in one of his previous life, he was a boxer. I call a wrestler. Wrestler, you have to. So he always break his opponent's back. So as a result, he got the back pain, even though he become Buddha already. Karma will happen anytime, disregard whether you are Arahant or Buddha or normal person. Karma will remain thick. action. Và đôi bên bè fruit hả? And this birds catcher, huh? Catching the birds. Also very bad karma. We are called bad habitual karma, a bad deed habitually performed. So all this one also, when during dying moment will appear in your last thought moment, then it will decide this person to reborn in one of the four woeful states. Okay, the last one is reserved karma. If there's no waiting karma, no that proximate karma, no habitual karma, then last one, reserved karma. Excludes the aforementioned three kinds of karma, the karma which is potent enough to affect rebirth. This reserved karma is one we've done, but we forgot already. Although we forgot, but it's also crucial, important enough to affect our future rebirth. And this will take place, reserved karma will take place. Okay? In the commentary give a simile for you to remember, this fourth type of karma. Suppose, there's a gate, there are so many cows kept inside the cage, inside the gate. So every morning, the farmer will open the gate. Which cow will come out first? The strongest will come out. Even though you're near the gate, but behind you, there's one very strong one to push you away. Push you to the other side. The stronger one push you to the other side because he's powerful. So he push you to the other side, you cannot come out also. So the stronger one, the black cow, strongest one will come out. So this black cow is what karma? Weighty or heavy karma? Weighty karma. Suppose no weighty karma. No strongest cow. All almost equal. The power, their strength are all almost equal. Then the one stay near gate. The moment they open, the one who stay near gate will come out. So this refer to that proximate karma. Then if there's not that proximate, not that proximate karma, which cow will come out first? The cow will always look at the gate when the gate open. When the gate open, this cow will always look, oh, gate open, quickly come out. This is called habitual karma. A cow will always keep an eye on the gate when the gate open. Said habitual karma. Okay, if there's no all cow, never pay attention where the gate open one. So which cow will come out? A weak cow suddenly being pushed by other. It's like, it's weak, he cannot come out on his own, but suddenly pushed by other, accidentally come out. This is the last one we call reserve karma. Okay, so all this karma during near death moment, all this karma, either Vedic karma, that proximate karma, or habitual karma, or reserved karma, this karma will transform itself into one of the three signs. So the dying person will see one of these three signs at the moment of death. Number one is karma. Number two is sign of karma. Number three is sign of destination. Okay, what is karma? What are the difference among these three? Kamma. Kamma means wholesome and unwholesome deeds or volition done in the past. Suppose now I am teaching the Dhamma to all of you. This is my wholesome deed. Wholesome deed. And during my dying moment, I remember all my time in playing the Buddhist Association and the talk I have given. I remember that it's called that proximate karma, right? Because I remember. And then I will see the vision. All dying person will see the vision, except Arahant. Okay? So I see the vision that I myself, as though I am teaching the Dhamma again. So I see just like playback, a film, movie playback. So I see myself here, sitting here, teaching the meditation again, giving the talk again. This is called Dhamma. Karma and sign of karma is different. This is called karma. Then suppose you see the picture. So like you offer, like during lunchtime, you offer food to the Sangha. Many times. You do it many times already. So you got an imprint in your mind. So during dying moment, this karma ripen. Then you will see you as though you are offering food again to the Sangha. This is also called karma. Okay? Or the Buddha, the monk Gopindapat, you have done it quite often. Then during dying moment, this good karma is going to bear its result, and you will see yourself like offering to the monk. Okay, understand? Then secondly, sign of karma. Sign of karma is an instrument used in performing wholesome or unwholesome karma. Suppose just now, I said you used to offer food to the Sangha. If you see during dying moment, you see as though you are offering food again to the Sangha, this is for karma. But you do not see the whole picture, you only see rice. The rice that you have offered. This is called sign of karma. An instrument that you use to perform good deeds. So you see the rice. Okay? This is called sign of karma. So you differentiate karma and sign of karma. Karma is the whole picture, like playback. What you have done in the past, you play back, you see the whole picture. But a sign of karma is you see the instrument you use on it. Okay? Suppose during dying moment, you see the flower. This is what karma? Sign of karma. You may, like, for example, you used to offer flower to the monastic, you used to offer flower to the Buddha, and during dying moment, this karma ripened. Good karma ripen, habitual karma. It can be habitual karma, it can be that proximate karma, you remember. So during that moment, you see the vision that you see flower, which is a good sign. So this is called sign of karma. No, it associates with your good karma. If you use it to offer to the Buddha, it's a good sign. But if you use it to offer to your lover, I don't know whether good sign or not. You use it to offer to your lover, then with a lot of attachment, then I don't know, I cannot say. But if you use it to offer to the Buddha, Sangha, it's a good sign. Okay? Okay. For those like army, soldier, they just, like now what's happening in the West, in the Middle East, they use all, now they don't use gun really. They use aeroplane or what the so but some people still fight on ground. So fighting on ground, they use all the pistol that so because you're using pistol is to kill people, right? Then during dying moment, this karma ripen, and this dying person will see the pistol, the instrument he used to perform bad deeds. Okay. Or for butcher, he may see all the knives that he used to slaughter animals. This is called bad sign of karma. What's this? So suppose you see fire, is it a good sign or not? A good sign, bad sign. Fire is indicate hell. So during Buddha's time, there was a monk. There's an old monk. Before he become monk, he was a hunter. Hunter, you know, kill a lot of animals. So after become old, he renounced the world and become monk. Later on, soon after he come, because he was old already, then later on, because old age, he's going to die. And because he performed so many pusala deeds by killing the animals, so during his dying moment, he saw a black dog chasing after him. Black dog chasing after him. Good sign or bad sign? Definitely bad sign, huh? Then he shouted, "Go away, go away." Ask the dog to go away, go away, go away. But nobody can understand. Who can understand what he's trying to say? Fortunately, his son is monk, Arahant. So his son is around him and saw his father calling out, "Go away, go away." So the monk, his son, the young son, young monk understood that he saw a bad sign. So before he died, he can do something for him. So he immediately asked one Samanera to go and pluck some flowers because monk cannot pluck flowers. So ask Samanera to go and pluck some flower, then carry his father, old monk, carry out to the stupa and tell his father, we offer flower on your behalf to the stupa. Please rejoice. Please rejoice. So the moment the old monk hear that his son's offering flower to him on behalf of him, he feels so much happiness. So the moment when he aroused joy over the good deeds, then the sign changed. The black dog disappeared. And he saw his wife come from the heaven to receive him. Then he speak up. He said, "Oh, your mom is coming down to receive me." And then the son here heard, you know, he now has good sign. Then let him die now. Quickly die now. Better. When the good sign comes, better die now. Don't delay anymore because the sign can change anytime. You know? So next time, my advice for you, during dying moment, if you see any good sign, don't cling to life anymore. Don't say that my son no yet come back, I don't want to go. Then gone already. Your good sign may not be able to last for so long. Because when you have attachment to your son who is not yet come back to see your last to meet with you, then that attachment can cause the sign to change. So remember, whenever during dying moment, you see good sign, then quickly say, "Now I want to go already." Quickly go. Don't delay. Okay. Because the sign can change owing due to your thoughts. Your thought change, they call it last thought moment. You change your thought, the sign will change. This is important advice for you. Okay. Okay, then suppose you see all this heavenly lady, then you know you are going to heaven, then quickly go. Don't cling to the person life anymore. Heaven lies better than human life. Quickly go, quickly go. Quickly say bye bye, I'm going. Okay. Or if you see the mountain, good or bad? Good or bad side? We do not know. It can be you are going to be born as lion. It can be reborn, you are going to be born as tiger, leopard in the forest. These are called signs. Destination indicate of where rebirth is to occur. Just now, hell also sign of destination. Fire from the hell is called sign of destination. Heaven beings also sign of destination. See the mountain, it can be good or bad. It can be the hermit, the yoga yogi who practice in the forest, also possible. So we do not know, depend on the karma. Okay, now we got three types of signs. What are they? Karma, sign of karma, sign of destination. Why all these signs arise? Why? Only dying person can see. We cannot see. Beside person cannot see. Why the sign arise in the dying person's mind? Because of karma performed in the past. What are the karma? That four type of karma. Vedi karma, that proximate karma, habitual karma, or recent karma. Either like one of them ripen during dying moment, then the karma transform into sight, into vision. Understand or not? Okay. Now I want to tell one more story. When I went to Australia, so I'm also talking about this topic because I think this topic is so important for us to know. Sooner or later, we are going to die. Better know what will happen to me, right? So therefore, I share this topic. Then after the talk, one audience approached me and tell me that her husband, before dying, her husband said, "Very bright, very bright, very bright." Then the wife said, "I quickly go and switch off the light." So I quickly go and switch off the light. Now the room is in darkness, and yet my husband still said, "Very bright, very bright." I don't know what to do already. I don't know what to do. Then after that, her husband died. So this is something puzzles her so much. She doesn't understand why her husband said very bright. And she also cannot guess where her husband take his rebirth. So he asked me, "So what do you think when the husband says very bright, very bright? Is it sign of destination? What destination?" Yes, I guess that. I guess you see the sign of destination, the bright, because all the deva are bright, very bright. So he see the brightness. So I tell her that your husband may go to heaven already. Switch off the light doesn't because she cannot understand the teaching of the Buddha. Okay, this is a real story. Another one, a real story. When I was in America, I also taught this topic. So it has been 10 years I didn't talk this topic. Suddenly I think, I forgot the important topic to talk. Therefore, I suddenly want to share with you this topic. So when I was in America, after the American listened to my talk, one of the American approached me. And he told me that something he cannot understand also. He told me that my mom is a very strong Catholic or Christian, Catholic. Very faithful, devoted Catholic. But during her dying moment, he said something which shocked his son. The dying mom said that the God did not forgive me. Then he died. Okay. Why? So his son cannot understand why his dying mom said that the God did not forgive her. Because her mom is so devoted Catholic, Christian, so good Christian. Why during her dying moment she's supposed to go to heaven, man? Why she said the son did, the God did not forgive me? What do you think? Okay, now you understand this talk already. What do you think? See the fire. Smart, you are good. Yes. Why he say? Because he see the hell. I guess. Because I guess she saw hellfire. The last sign. I should see heaven, but now I see hellfire. This means that the God did not forgive me, no? Because in Christian, only two places to go, ma. Hell. So I did not see the good sign. I only see the hell fire. And in a Christian's mind, God decide where you go on. Not your action. Not your good action decide, the God decide. So the God did not forgive me, send me to hell. So the son is Buddhist. But this understanding, heaven, the Christian either go to hell or heaven, this all American understanding, right? Therefore, he just cannot understand why his mom say that God did not forgive her. Then I try to explain to her, I try to explain to him that maybe your mom see the fire of hell. Therefore, she say something which you cannot understand. Okay, all these are a real story, happened. Then student all come to me and ask why like that, why? Okay. And in the Dhammapada, in the Dhammapada, there was one story, Dhammika. Dhammapada, I think two or three. Dhammika is a very generous person. Very, support Buddha Sasana, very generous person. So during his dying moment, he saw, we have six heaven, six realm of heaven. So he saw six car, the heaven horse, the heaven car come from the heaven. But at that time, because their culture is before dying, they invite monk to give talk so they can die with happiness, right? So before Dhammika died, the family invited monk to give talk. Then Dhammika listened to talk before dying. So before talk finished, he already saw the heavenly vehicle come down to visit him and six vehicle. Let him choose which one you want to go on. So at that time, he was listening to talk. He did not want to be disturbed. He want to finish the whole chanting first. So then he asked all the heaven people, please wait. Wait a moment. Please wait. But nobody understand what is in his mind. And the monk feel so embarrassed. He thought, the monk thought, Dhammika asked us to wait, don't chant. Then the monk feels so embarrassed. So, okay, wait, mean going back, don't go back. So the monk all go back. So after that, Dharmita come to the senses, huh? He says, hey, where are the monks? Because you say, please wait. Then the monk thought you don't want to listen already, they all go back already. Then Dharmita said, no, because I see all the vehicle come from 6 grams. I want to, as a respect for the monk, I want to listen finished. Only then I go. So I asked the heavenly being to wait for me, finish the listen to the chanting first. Then the Dhammika asked their son and daughter, which realm should I go? Six realms are coming down to receive me. Then all the son said, go to Tusita. Maybe you can meet Maitreya Buddha. Before he become Maitreya Buddha, he will be in Tusita heaven. So you go there, maybe you can meet those Sariputta, no, Bodhisattva. Then Dhammika choose Tusita, then after I die, then reborn in Tusita heaven. This is in Dhammapada commentary. Okay? So all the sign, either it's karma, sign of karma, or sign of destination, all arise because of, only one will arise. It arises because of past karma that has met all the conditions to produce rebirth consciousness in the next life. So can the near-death sign be changed? Yes. Remember this. Just now I see the dying old man seeing the black dog chasing after him. Then later his son do something for him. Then the sign changed. So the good one can change to the bad one. The bad one can change to the good one. So when there's a good one, quickly go. Don't delay. Don't cling to the life. Don't cling to the present life anymore. Clinging to the present life is not a good sign. Okay, last one. During that moment, we say that rebirth can take place when there are four factors there. These four factors cause rebirth to take place. Number one is ignorance. Ignorance. So during dying moment, we still long for life, right? We still long for life because our mind is blinded by ignorance, thinking birth is happiness. Buddha keep telling us birth is suffering, death is suffering, right? Sickness is suffering. But during dying moment, we still cling to life. We want to have new destination. We want to reborn again. We think birth, rebirth is happiness. This is ignorance. During dying moment, this ignorance is always there. Okay. Secondly, craving. Before dying, we crave for new life. That is definitely one. Only Arahant, no craving. Even Anagami, during dying moment, also crave for one more life. So craving is always there during dying moment. Then clinging. Clinging is clinging to a self. So during dying moment, we do not think of it is consciousness arise and pass away. No, I think most of the dying person do not think that way. Dying person, what they think? They think, I am going to die, right? During your dying moment, will you think that, okay, next moment consciousness arise, going, then die? Nobody will think that. There's so much fear of that. The mind cannot function anymore. All the theory you have one all lost. You cannot think properly anymore. So your mind only think that I am going to die. I am. So you cling to I am. You cling to that is a person, that is myself, that person is myself, this myself is going to die. This is called clinging to self. It's always there one. Clinging to self is always there. Then lastly, karma. Karma, I have already mentioned, they are one of the four types of karma that already ripened. Take karma, push the dying person's consciousness, not push yourself, push the consciousness to a new life. Then, when that happened, new life will take place either in hungry ghost realm or in hell realm or in heaven realm or in animal realm or in human realm, depending on what karma decide your rebirth. Okay, so these are the factors, four important factors for rebirth. What are they? Ignorance, not knowing birth is suffering. Second, craving for new life. Number third, clinging to a self that myself is going to die. This thought is always in the dying person's mind. Okay, and number four, without karma also cannot. Karma is done in the past or shortly before that. New karma also can. Not necessarily the past, new karma. You think of your good deed, these are new karma. New mental karma. All this fulfilled, then rebirth will take place. So, lastly, one more question for you. When reborn, now rebirth takes place already. When reborn, is it the same person or a completely different one? Now you are born already, Now I die, now I'm born already. Am I a new person, completely new person? Or now I'm different one, completely different? Which one is your answer? Okay, the same person, put up your hand because cannot hear. Same person. One, two, three, four. Okay, completely different person. More. Okay, completely different person. One, you have the view of annihilation. What type of wrong view? You see, you have wrong view in you, huh? In Buddhist teaching, important is the right view. Then just now 4 or 5% say it's the same person. This is called view of eternalism. Another type of wrong view. But just now I see the annihilation view more. More than 20% put up your hand. If you think you are completely different one, completely different one. Then no more past life. Right? Now you say, now I'm reborn, I'm completely different from past. Then how can people remember their past life? If you are completely different one, no more past life. So wrong view, It's called wrong view of annihilation. Only Western country got this type, maybe got this type of view. We call view of materialism. Then if you say completely same person, then the same soul transmigrate from one life to another life, which is also wrong. Okay, then what is the right view? Either eternalism view, completely the same person, or completely different one, both are extreme view. Buddha rejected. So what is the right view? Right view, what is the right view? Right view here means middle path. Neither the same nor otherness. Neither the same, not completely the same, nor not completely the different. I give you a good example, better, When you go to a valley, you call, okay, John, John, there's an eagle. Can an eagle come with David? Or eagle come with Mary? No. So the eagle is different, it's not, how to call, not completely different. It's not different. It's not completely the same original sound and ego. Not the same, right? This is the original sound. Ego is ego. But without this original sound, ego cannot come about, right? So there's a connection. There's a connection. But you cannot say it's the completely same. Completely different also cannot. Without this original sound, how can the ego join comes about? So neither the same nor otherness. It's just a continuity of consciousness. It's just a continuity of consciousness, neither the same nor otherness. This is the right view. And in order to explain better this right view, I got to explain dependent origination. It may take another 2 hours. So I better stop here now. I better stop here now. This is another lesson to explain to you the dependent origination without a self. Okay, that's all for today's talk.